Football was the winning ticket for introducing Canadian men's underwear brand Saks to the U.S. by way of an unconventional marketing campaign that also raised awareness about testicular cancer.
We hired Stephon and Trayvon Diggs, brothers and NFL players, to kind of serve as our spokespeople for this campaign. They're all about securing the balls in their profession. So there's kind of some synergies there with what Saks does with their underwear and securing the balls and what these guys do on the field.
That's CNO Group's Christian Blattner, and I'm the Publicity Club of Chicago's Executive Director, Tweet Thornton. I'm also your host today. For more than eight decades, the Publicity Club of Chicago has been the professional home for those in communications, marketing, and public relations. For most of our history, PCC has honored the best of the best in those industries with our award series, the Golden Trumpet Awards. On today's episode, we're looking at one of the top five campaigns in the 2023 Golden Trumpet Awards program. It's a campaign that truly deserves an encore discussion. We couldn't have this podcast without the support of Rivet 360, our podcast sponsor and producer. We also couldn't have this conversation without today's co-host and PCC board member, Payal Patel. Also joining Payal and Christian Blattner is CNO Group's Nick Eichenmeier. Let's hear from you all. Payal, let's start with you. Payal, please tell us more about yourself.
Sure. Thank you for having me, Tweet. It's an honor to join today. My name is Payal Patel. I've been in the PR and marketing space for about 15 years now, but I got my start in journalism and in sports journalism, in fact. And so I'm excited to revisit a little bit of my history today. But I started out covering the Bucks, Brewers, and Packers in Milwaukee, which was painful as a Chicago sports fan. And then shortly after that, I went to professional soccer and then ended up with the NFL Players Association here in Chicago and was the PR director there before I pivoted to Navy Pier for about 6 years and have now started my own consulting practice. So I think I've kind of pretty much done it all at this point in the industry. But I'm excited to dive in back to sports today.
Fantastic. As are we, and our listeners will soon learn exactly why Payal, when we chose her sports background. So next, welcoming to the podcast is CNO Group's Nick Eichenmeier. Nick, why don't you start us off? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do for CNO Group.
Yeah, thanks for having us on, guys. We're excited to be here and talk about the campaign. I think Christian and I probably have a pretty similar story in terms of our journey to where we are today and our experience at CNO. So we actually both started as interns. I started right out of college about 11 years ago, actually. So it's been a heck of a run. And then, yeah, I was early on, I started working on our sports and entertainment practice at CNO Group. And it's been about 10 years now later. And we've had a lot of really exciting campaigns. We've done a lot of really cool work. And we're excited to talk to you guys about one of those campaigns today.
And Christian Blattner.
Yeah, echoing Nick, great to be with you guys. Yeah, like him, you know, support our sports entertainment practice here at CNO. Started as an intern about 6 or so years ago. It's been a fun ride for sure. And yeah, excited to chat more here.
Fantastic. And we have you on the show today specifically to talk about the campaign Chief Ball Officers. Can you give us an overview of the campaign? What was the main objective or goal you faced?
Yeah, I think it makes the most sense to give you a bit of background on the brand itself, to give you some insight into how the campaign kind of came about. So Saks is a premium men's underwear and apparel brand based in Canada. They're a fan favorite north of the border, have great brand awareness, a lot of fans in Canada. But they were looking to make, you know, a big splash in the United States a year or so ago and kind of formally introduce themselves to American consumers. So what we were charged with at CNO was helping them do that and developing a campaign that would land with sports fans in particular. Saks brand is famous for inventing pouch underwear with their ballpark pouch. To be frank, we have a lot of ball talk with the brand. So it makes a lot of sense to activate around ball sports as well. And with football being probably the most popular sport in the U.S., it made a lot of sense to activate around football for this campaign in particular. So just to give you a kind of a high-level look at what the Chief Ball Officers was all about. We hired Stephon and Trayvon Diggs, brothers and NFL players, to kind of serve as our spokespeople for this campaign. They're, you know, all about securing the balls in their profession, Steph being a wide receiver and Trayvon being a cornerback. So there's kind of some synergies there with what Sacks does with their underwear and securing the balls and what these guys do on the field. They've always dreamed of teaming up as well. And while Sacks couldn't really grant that wish on the field per se, it was fun to bring the duo together for this unique off-field opportunity. So yeah, we hired them as chief ball officers, created this new executive position where they would serve as spokespeople for the brand. We raised some money for charity, created a bunch of, you know, cool consumer purchase opportunities throughout the season, landed some awesome, some media hits for the brand, you know, generated a fun social conversation. But yeah, that's a high level look, and look forward to kind of digging into more of the elements of the campaign as this conversation progresses.
Well, it sounds like a really clever campaign. It sounds like you all had so much fun putting it together too. I'd love to hear a little bit more about the strategy behind the campaign. How did you approach this?
Yeah, you're right. It was a super fun campaign. We had a blast with it. I think Christian hit a lot on a lot of the highlights of the campaign itself. I mean, it was all about breaking through in the U.S. for a company that has had major, major successes in Canada and it is a household name, but the awareness just isn't there yet quite in the U.S. So we were on the heels of a March Madness campaign that was called the Vasectomy Registry, which we could have an entire other podcast about that.
A lot of questions now that you mentioned that.
Now we can open up a whole can of worms. It was based on the insight that there's a 30% uptick in vasectomies during March Madness because so many men want their doctor-ordered breasts to coincide with when they can sit on the couch and watch basketball for 2 days straight.
Fascinating.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a major campaign for us. It won some awards. It was very successful, but it was a smaller campaign. It launched in the U.S., but it wasn't really like a real big U.S. breakthrough moment. So we wanted to do a bigger campaign. We wanted bigger talent and we wanted to focus on football just because, like, I mean, March Madness and basketball is a major moment for us, but I mean, football is king at the end of the day. So like Christian said, we zero in on football. We wanted to look at some talent options that were really legitimate, true A-list talent. And that's what led us to Stephon. He just aligned so well with who the Sacks target consumer is and who they really want to portray in their marketing assets. Like, he's a true Renaissance man. I mean, he's into cars, fashion. He's done like creative direction for some of his photo shoots before. He likes watches, like just very, very interesting human. And he worked out really well for the brand. And then, like Christian said, we kind of got into that insight that he and Trayvon always wanted to play together. We couldn't grant that on the field, like Christian said. So we brought them together off the field. And I think that really worked well just because they both felt much more comfortable working together. They had a lot of fun with it. They were super natural and authentic in all the video assets that we put together. So it just worked out really, really well. At the end of the day, it was just an awesome campaign. The brothers were great partners. They were super invested in the campaign at every step. So overall, the strategy really laddered up to what we needed to accomplish. And at the end of the day, the results were great.
All right, so you've talked about the client, you've talked about the brothers, you've talked about a couple other things. Are there any other key stakeholders that were involved and anything else to add in there?
I would add that, you know, obviously internally, the Sacks marketing and PR team on their side were a huge part of bringing this to life. It's a concept we came up with as an agency, but with them mostly being based in Canada, they didn't have a huge understanding of, you know, the sports space in the U.S. and how big of stars Steph and Trey really were. So definitely took some education there on that side to sell it in and pull it off. But the great thing is they trust us and our opinions and points of view on these sorts of things. So it was great to work with them to bring this to life. And then there's obviously the creative aspect of this. There was some great video and still imagery shots. So working with you know, a creative team to bring this campaign to life through compelling visuals is always key for PR, as we know. And then, yeah, working with the talent and their rep, their agent is actually a good friend of ours. So that made things quite a bit easier on our end. But yeah, was great working with them throughout the campaign. And then I would just say external stakeholders, you know, as a PR team, media are always an important aspect for us. So how are we going to tell this story with media? How are we going to break through for a brand that really hasn't yet in the US? And then consumers, how can we speak to consumers in a unique way that draws interest from them and, you know, hopefully leads to purchasing as well, was the goal.
I'll just add as well, I mean, in terms of stakeholders, like, I think that our team specifically, like, we're very nimble in terms of what aspects of a program we bring to life. If it's just the PR and we're pitching it out, okay. But obviously, we like to be much more involved in all aspects of the program. So for this, for example, like, we were intricate in developing the campaign, a lot of the creative. We did the deal specifically with the Diggs agent. So we controlled all aspects of the contracting, negotiating. So we were able to make sure that all the elements of the campaign that we needed to get in, all the services that we needed to get into the contract were there. So in terms of a pretty soup to nuts activation, we were very involved in all aspects of it. So we were pretty pleased with everything that we were able to do to bring this program to life.
Awesome. So let's dive deeper into the execution of this. How did you roll this out? And then would also love to hear sort of what the response was like from your target audience. Did it really resonate? Did you feel that people really kind of got what you were trying to accomplish here? And was there anything that happened along the way that you didn't anticipate for? And how did you respond to that?
Yeah, I would say there's probably two phases for the execution of this campaign. Phase one was just creating some momentum from the jump on launch day. So we've talked about the creative, but just to double click into that, we had, you know, some awesome video creative to kind of tell the story and introduce this campaign to media and consumers. The brand, again, like I said, we have a lot of ball talk and like to have, you know, kind of a fun persona when we're talking about the brand. So that came through in the creative. We shot this video that was detailing Steph and Trayvon's first day on the job as chief ball officers. We even created this fun character to play this role of office manager at Saks. We named him Jerry Jules. Funny little side note is Jerry Jules was actually played by Saks's VP of sales, Adam Craig, multi-talented individual in Adam. So that was a lot of fun, you know, just to have great visual assets to go along with the campaign. And then, yeah, of course, there was media strategy to kind of assess how we want to go out with this campaign. So obviously, you know, a lot of earned outreach. That was also timed with a slate of media interviews for both Stefan and Trayvon to kind of tell this story from their perspective. And again, going back to what Nick said earlier about these guys working together, I think was huge for them. It was their first co-marketing deal. So first time they've worked together from a brand perspective. So there was a lot of buy-in from their end. And I think just helped us to tell that story with sports and lifestyle media. So that was kind of launch and, you know, the first, we'll say, couple weeks to a couple months of the campaign. But we want to sustain it throughout the football season. So a couple of things we did is first, we layered in this philanthropic angle and build, which also involved an NIL deal. If you guys aren't familiar, NIL is something new that's come about in the past couple of years where college athletes are able to cash in on their name, image, and likeness with brand deals. So what we did was teamed up with the South Carolina football team, the Gamecocks, to raise money for testicular cancer through this NIL deal. So, you know, shot some fun content where, you know, Steph and Trey were talking about how, you know, we've secured the balls in the professional ranks, but, you know, we need to do so in college football as well. So they, you know, kind of introduced the Gamecocks as, you know, this additional layer to the program. And Saks has been a longtime supporter of philanthropic causes related to men's health. So we brought the Testicular Cancer Foundation into the fold. And what we did was for every sack that the South Carolina Gamecocks recorded throughout the football season, Saks would donate $1,000 to TCF. So really good message and, you know, obviously a fun build. We, you know, we did an event on campus with some of the Gamecocks players, you know, giving out underwear, self-exam shower cards from TCF just to make sure that people should be checking regularly about keeping an eye out for these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. So kind of a fun way to sustain the program throughout the football season with that build.
Yeah, I really love that philanthropic element. I'm so glad to see that have tied through the theme. And then, of course, then you pair that with the brotherly connection. I think that everyone loves that story around brothers, from the Kelsey brothers to the Mannings. Like, it's just fun to see. And I saw, it was great to see that the Diggs brothers also kind of have that little bit of fun in this execution of this campaign.
I thought the health aspect was really great. It really turns it from just kind of a fun campaign to another level, philanthropic, health, everything. So yeah, hats off on that. So we've been talking about football a lot. Are there other football things that you're working on? What else do you have going on at Zeno Group?
We have a lot going on. I mean, we're really busy right now. We've talked about some of the SACS programs, Chief Ball Officer. We talked about the vasectomy campaign that was pretty wild. We also did a caddies program with SACS last year that was in the golf space. So like, again, another very sports-centric campaign. It was, again, all about ball care. It had a testicular cancer foundation tied to it. Like, I think that's something that you see as a recurring theme for SACS is we like to have fun with these campaigns, but at the end of the day, we want to bring it back to like a serious cause. And that's where TCF has come in a lot of the time. We did another NIL campaign for SACS this year called the All SACS Conference, where it was college football. So every sack recorded by one of these players that was on our team would trigger a donation to TCF. So again, all for a good cause. Outside of SACS, I mean, we're very busy. We've had a couple pretty cool campaigns recently. We did a Breathe Right nasal strip campaign with Jerry Rice and his son, Brennan Rice, who was a football player at USC. So Jerry was famous for having this, you know, the white nasal strip. And that's one of our clients. So we did a deal with his son that Jerry was involved with. It was a lot of fun. We shot some cool content with them. We had another NIL deal for Hyatt and Tennessee wide receiver Jalen Hyatt last year. It was a hugely successful NIL program. It got a billion impressions. We extended the deal with him. So this was his first year. He played for the Giants. He had a pretty good year. So we're excited to see him have some success and continue that deal with him. And outside of sports, I mean, we're doing some really cool work with other clients like Coca-Cola, Sharpie, Lenovo, among others.
So it's been really fun hearing about your campaign and all the great work that you've all done. Can you highlight maybe another campaign or two that you saw from a different agency that you really admired or thought was really cool?
Yeah, working in sports entertainment, I'm always drawn to campaigns that use talent in unique ways, so athletes or celebrities. One that Nick and I were actually talking about this morning that stood out in, you know, the past week or so, I think it's a campaign or it's a teaser to a campaign, is what CeraVe has been doing with Michael Cera. I don't know if you guys have seen some of this viral social content, but there's been some pictures of Michael Cera like walking the streets with, you know, massive bags of CeraVe lotion. There was another video of him like signing CeraVe lotion bottles at a Walgreens or drugstore. He was mentioning something about how he had some skin in the game when he was asked about, you know, these viral social videos when he was on a podcast. So whoever is behind that campaign, I think, is doing a great job of kind of teasing something. So maybe there's a Super Bowl ad that's around the corner or something, but got a real kick out of that one. Another one that stood out from this past year in the NIL space, which is, you know, something we talked about earlier and something we've done for a handful of clients, is what the Iowa Pork Producers did with a few Iowa State football players this past year. You may have seen it, but it was so simple, but it worked because they had such a compelling image asset. So what they did is they partnered with, I guess it was four Iowa State football players. Their last names were Purchase, Moore, Hammond, and Bacon. Position in a row. So if you read their last names, it's Purchase, Moore, Ham, and Bacon, which obviously like lends itself to what the Iowa Pork Producers are trying to do. It was unexpected to see an NIL deal from, you know, I guess we'll call it a brand in the Iowa Pork Producers, but more of a company. So that one really stood out and it was everywhere. So those are two that come to mind right away from the past few months.
That is really clever. It reminds me of the State Farm commercial with Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce. With like Mahomes, the jersey has his name, but like they're trying to do Ma'ato with Kelsey to try to bundle the two together. But yeah, that's fun. That's a really fun one.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, those are great. I think, I mean, there's just so much good work out there. I mean, like I think it's like anything Taco Bell or Chipotle does is just always gold. Like I love the Chipotle car napkin holder idea from a couple weeks ago. I mean, that's just so good. It's such a clever insight that everybody goes in and just grabs a stack full of Chipotle napkins. And I think they did a really good job of taking the tension and providing a smart solution. So that was really good. And then I think one that like is just so interesting that I feel like is the talk of the industry that nobody can quite figure out is the Snoop Dogg and Solo Stove. I mean, so similar to like what Christian said for the Michael Cera example, they did a great job of like getting the teaser out in the world and everybody, I mean, I think like we do this stuff all the time. So we're generally pretty skeptical when things come out, like, you know, Snoop Dogg's going to quit smoking. I fell for it. Like hook, line, and sinker, I fell for it. And then it comes out that it's a partnership and everybody looks at it and they're like, oh my God, that was so good. Like the way it was launched, it just worked perfectly. Then, you know, if you just look at it in a vacuum, you got to think like, wow, that had to be such a successful campaign. Then it comes out like leadership changes. They didn't quite, you know, make the connection between awareness and or the campaign and sales. It was just too focused on awareness. Maybe they were too focused on the stuntiness of the campaign versus Snoop being an authentic fit, things like that. So I just think like that was a very, very compelling campaign. Like, again, in a vacuum, you would think wildly successful, but it just wasn't the case. So I think that just raised a lot of questions. And, you know, there just needs to be a broader conversation when you're working with celebs and athletes to make sure that who you're working with is an authentic fit and everybody is aligned in terms of what the goals, objectives, KPIs, what the ROI is going to be. Like if we're all on the same page that awareness is the goal and that's a win, awesome. But it seems like there was some sort of disconnect along the way in this Solo Stove campaign. But I mean, so much fun. Like the execution seemed great. So it's too bad that it didn't quite land.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Authenticity is something that I think every communicator and anyone working in the space really needs to take into account when they're considering who's going to be their brand spokesperson. So it's a great point.
One campaign that stuck out to me, especially if we're talking football and listeners of the PCC podcast, not be surprised to hear me talk about this, the Pop-Tarts Bowl. And what Pop-Tarts did with their mascot and with their branding and talking about authentic, I thought it was interesting. It even tied back to a release in July of 2023. And it even went back to like 2007, 2008, when they had these characters, these Pop-Tarts characters that really wanted to be eaten. And they brought those back. And it was, and everything that they did around the Pop-Tarts Bowl, I was very impressed with. So that was a campaign that caught my eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then it started a trend among all the other mascots that are edible, right? Like it became a thing, like Cheez-Its and...
Yep.
Yeah, there were like a few others.
They were riffing off of each other. Yeah. There's a video that I just saw last night, and I had only seen the original Calvin Klein ad with Jeremy Allen because somebody else was showing it to his co-star on The Bear. But there's a German brewer, BRLO, who, if you haven't seen this video, they did a spoof on the Jeremy Allen Calvin Klein ad. And I actually think that the spoof might get more traction because I hadn't actually heard of the ad. Maybe I'm in a vacuum or just out of the loop on this one. But if anyone hasn't seen the spoof ad, be warned. It's interesting to say the least. So any other campaigns that come to mind, will Clearinghouse, especially Payel, I didn't ask you specifically, anything that is Golden Trumpet Award worthy out there?
You know, I don't know. I think we covered a lot of ground with some of the campaigns that were already mentioned. So yeah, I don't know. I think that, but like the key takeaways from the successful campaigns, it seems like if you find the right person to help convey the message, it really goes a long way. So it's so much of it comes down to like making the choices around and doing like a lot of work on who's going to be able to authentically deliver that message and who's going to help it kind of connect the dots back to the brand, the product, whatever it is, in a really meaningful and resonant way.
Xeno Group has two great Golden Trumpet Award winning people here, Nick and Christian, not just because of the campaign, but also you are 30 under 30 alums. Yes. Yeah. So Nick and Christian, can you talk a little bit about that? what being 30 under 30 meant to you, how maybe it has inspired you, or anything along those lines.
Yeah, I mean, it was super cool. It was a really good honor. I wish I was still eligible for 30 under 30, but now I'm way too old. But I think I was in the inaugural class of 30 under 30. And yeah, just such a cool honor. It's always great to be recognized. I feel like, you know, you can feel good about your own work and that goes a long way. But when to be recognized for it and have other people see your work is just such an honor. And yeah, it was fun to go to the ceremony and meet the other honorees and all that good stuff. So it was a good time. And then Christian followed suit soon after. So we were very proud of him.
I would just echo what Nick said. I mean, it's great when, you know, clients are happy with the work you do, but I would say it's even better when your colleagues recognize you for doing great work. So huge honor and something that I'll remember forever, and awesome to be a part of the 30 Under 30 crew.
Congrats to both of you again on that past honor. And as a quick plug, this is the Publicity Club of Chicago. Nominations for the 30 Under 30 for this year's Golden Trumpet Awards will be open soon. Golden Trumpet Award entries themselves will also be rolling out as well. We're coming to the close here. It is the beginning of 2024. And I'm curious if there's one tip that is pushing you this year, something that you might want to share with other people. Could be related to self-care, could be a new routine. Maybe you even have some new software at work that's pushing you. What has you off to an award-winning start this year? Nick, let's start with you.
Yeah, honestly, my 2024 has been off to a wild start. I've traveled every week of January so far, so I don't think I've had a chance to implement any new practices or routines or anything like that. I guess like my main thought, especially with all this travel over the last couple of weeks, is just how we're still kind of learning to best streamline things and function in a remote and or hybrid and some people in person environment. I mean, Christian's based in Chicago and he goes into our office all the time. I've been remote since the pandemic. I mean, we have a pretty tight knit team on our practice, and I think probably 60% of us are remote. So, I mean, it's still a challenge, but I think our team has done a really good job over the last several months. But I think our team has done a really good job of being in person whenever we possibly can. If we're building a plan or working on a new business pitch or something like that, I mean, I just don't think that you can duplicate the productivity of being in person if you're over Zoom. Just this week, for example, there were 10 of us holed up in a hotel suite for the better part of 3 days, working on a plan, like collaborating, discussing things together in real time, bouncing ideas off of each other. And again, I just don't think that you can duplicate that if you're scattered across the country and trying to work on things on Zoom. So I just think our team has done a pretty good job of when it makes sense and when we're able to getting together and just hashing things out live. And I mean, Zeno specifically, like collaboration and culture is what makes our agency so great. And I think we've just done a really good job of finding creative ways to work together in person, even when we're not necessarily based all in the same city.
Fantastic. Christian?
Yeah, I'll take a different angle to this question. Mine's not work related, but something I've been doing since the start of the year, I guess this could be a resolution, is reading before bed for a half hour is something I've been trying to do every night during the week since the start of the year. We look at screens and all day during work, and then afterwards, you know, watching TV or sports or whatever it might be. So it's just been kind of a nice reset for me at the end of the day, but before bed, just to read, you know, for a half hour or so, and kind of, you know, end the day with some learning as well. I feel like I read a lot of nonfiction. It is kind of my favorite genre, so I feel like I'm also learning something. So yeah, that's something I've been trying to do and hopefully can continue to carry on throughout the year.
Christian, that's going to inspire me for 2024, not necessarily a resolution or tip for other people, but if you are looking to read something and looking to keep the resolution going, one thing that I'm doing is participating in one of my favorite podcasts. They have a book club this year. So the podcast is called 99% Invisible with Roman Mars, who is a WBEZ alum. What they are doing is having a book club for The Power Broker, which focuses on Robert Moses and who was a key figure in New York City public administration in the early 20th century. The book itself is over 1,200 pages long. So what they're doing is it's 100 pages a month, and then just following up that way. The author is Robert Caro, who also wrote the Lyndon Johnson biography series as well. So anyway, especially if you're looking for something to fill up that time, looking for another book, looking for, depending on your interests, and maybe help you fall asleep, I would suggest that book. Payal, what has you going in 2024 as well?
Yeah, well, so 2024 for me is going to be the year of quality sleep. That's something I'm working on personally. I've never been very good about consistent quality sleep. Since the start of the new year, I've actually been trying to make slow and steady progress at like kind of getting to bed at a consistent time and making sure I'm getting the 7 to 8 hours. And I've already noticed the difference, which is great. So I feel more energetic throughout the day. I don't need as much caffeine, coffee to support me throughout the day. So yeah, so that's what I'm doing on a personal side of things. And then from a work perspective, the tagline of my business is bold visions require bold moves. And I kind of want to do that for myself as well. So I'm very much about making bold moves and inspiring my clients to do so as well in whatever space they're trying to excel in.
With that, our conversation must come to a close. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Nick Eichenmeier and Christian Blattner from Zeno Group and PCC's very own Payal Patel. I know I learned a lot about sports marketing and what goes into working with athletes on these high-profile campaigns in 2023. I thank both our guests and my co-hosts for amplifying all of the wonderful work that is being done out there, especially the Chief Ball Officers campaign, a top 5 campaign at last year's Golden Trumpet Awards. Our thanks again to Rivet 360 for sponsoring this discussion. Rivet 360 is the podcast production company that can help you take your idea to audio delight. For more, check out rivet360.com. The Publicity Club of Chicago podcast is produced and edited by Rivet 360's Jennifer O'Neill. Podcast artwork is by Fee Morgan of DBC Brand. If you are interested in learning more about the Publicity Club of Chicago and the Golden Trumpet Awards, please visit publicity.org. That's all for today. More great discussions are coming your way.